What have we been talking about? Vision. Why? Scripture talks about, for lack of vision, my people perish. So we've been talking about some things, felt very much led of God to do that here in a short break from great stories from the Bible. You have to have something getting you up and going in the morning, or you're just kind of taking up space and you're pretty dissatisfied with life and difficult for other people and those kinds of things. So do everybody a favor and figure out what you should be doing. What your reason to be here is. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Habakkuk chapter 2. We'll start there today. So far we've talked about writing the vision a bit, asked everybody to kind of get out some paper and write down whatever you want to call it, the wild sheet, the unlimited sheet, the money is no object sheet, whatever. Just start putting some things down that are just maybe way out there, maybe they're simple, they're not so way out there, but just get things on paper. And then as we go along, start refining that list a little bit later, because it requires faith to pursue things, and you'll expend and spend to pursue things that are on your vision. And faith is just kind of like money. It can be measured. And if faith can be measured, that means there's not an unlimited supply. Now, you can keep growing in faith, but when you get way out ahead of your faith or beyond your faith, that's when there's trouble. And that's what a lot of folks have done. Well, I'm believing, you know, God said I could this or that or have this or that, and it's way out beyond their faith, and it doesn't just automatically happen. So then people say, well, I tried faith, didn't work. So Habakkuk 2, this is where we've been, verse 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. So first of all, notice vision starts with watching. It starts with listening. It doesn't start with, what do I want? It starts with God, and it starts with listening to God. He's the one that has a plan for your life. He's the one that created you. Whatever you are, good and bad, in terms of your personality, your character, your makeup, all of that, he put together the raw material that is you. Now, what we've done with it is another story, but he knows you. He has a plan for you. He knows. Well, I'll say it this way. People are most fulfilled and happiest in life when they find God's purpose for their life and they pursue it and fill it. The greatest happiness you'll ever have is in doing what God designed you to do. That's the greatest happiness you'll ever have. So it starts with watching and listening. Verse 2, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. One of the things we've talked about so far, who's going to run with it? Well, you are. If it's vision concerning your life, you're the one that's going to have to run. And if you're going to have to run, you're going to have to know what it says. Better make it plain. We kind of established, I think last week, a lot of people doing a lot of running around. But where are they going? Where are they arriving? What's the destination? And we looked at the guy last week that was a great runner, but he didn't have a message. So he got there first, but it was worthless. As opposed to the other man who had the message, he plodded along and didn't get there as quick as the other guy, but he was the one with the message. So it has to be plain, it has to be understood, and we need to refer to it from time to time and adjust. Make sure that you're on course, on track. So, the Lord answered and said to me, verse 2, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Verse 4 says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So there's the connection. If you're going to listen to God, receive the vision, clarify the vision, write it down, and then start running with it, that is a faith effort. It takes faith to accept the vision from God, write it down, and to begin to pursue it. I can basically tell you for sure, God will tell you things that he has for you and wants you to accomplish that you cannot do. He will exceed you. On purpose. He always does it. Every time. Never more than is possible with him, but it's all about dependence on him. He gives you a destination, a vision for something that is beyond you, that you can't do. It will require calling on God, waiting on God, being strengthened day by day in God. It will require renewing the mind. It will require saying what the word says. There will be setbacks. There will be disappointments. There will be people that abandon you. There will be people that speak against your vision. Some people use the word dream. Speak against your dream and so on. And all of that is coming. The enemy himself will try to rob you and steal from you and take those things away. It will take faith to achieve any measure of the vision that God would give you. And by the way, God has not shortchanged any single one of us in the area of a plan and a vision for our lives. Some people seem to know just exactly where they are, where they're going, what they're doing, how they're supposed to do all that kind of. Others, I'm not so sure, right? I mean, that's what they believe, and they say, what is my purpose? What's my what is it about? It's probably simpler than you're making it. It's probably obvious, and maybe it needs God to just shine the light on it one more time and go, oh, yeah, of course. Even some of the things that I'm discovering in my own life here in recent weeks, they were always there. I always knew it. It's just sometimes you get confused in so much going on, right? The needle in the haystack, all the hay around obscures the needle. So it's always been there, you've always known it, but a lot of stuff's going on. So it's a faith enterprise, and you will find it. Run with the vision. We talked about this a little bit last time. What is running with the vision? It is running with a destination, a roadmap, and a purpose. Remember that last time? A destination. Where are you going? Number two is a roadmap. How will you get there? Now here's a little further help in how you practically do this. The roadmap is goals and steps. Writing down goals and steps. Now, the goals and steps without the destination is a bit of a mystery and doesn't work so well. So determine the destination first before you determine the goals and steps, right? Any destination you have, you know you're going to drive to a certain city. Well, that destination excludes steps that go somewhere else. You're usually looking for the most direct route. And so once you know the destination, you know, maybe whether it be an airplane or a car or something like that, maybe you have to think about how far can the car go before it needs to refuel. Or an airplane, that's a definite consideration right there. How far can we go before we need to refuel? Sometimes the airplane or the car can go a lot farther than my stomach can go. How far until we need to eat? That's just me. I might plan it all around where we're going to eat, right? So that's a goal. That's a step. And then maybe sometimes it's how far between bathrooms can you go? So anyway, goals and steps after the destination is obtained. Even small steps. You can get to a destination in small steps. Now, let's say if you were walking, you know, I've done my share of hiking and packing in the mountains and so on, and a further destination is not achieved any different than a near destination. My stride, length of stride, is only what it is. And so to get to a further destination, I don't need bigger goals. I just need more steps. And so if something is very large, it may take a lifetime of steps to get there. But goals and steps. So I guess what I'm saying is if you're going to write down some goals and some steps, don't be concerned that, you know, that's just one little step. Well, sure, but add to that one more little step and one more little step. You'll get where you need to go through a series of little steps. So that's all goals are. That's all vision for, say, 2018, writing down, I want to accomplish in 2018. Well, 2018 is only 1 year out of your life. It's just a step, right? That's all we're talking about is understanding the big picture and breaking that down into some steps. What can I do today? Well, we're not prepared to do that yet, but we can do this. And the scriptures talk about do not despise the day of small beginnings. Yeah. You know, for some things, you just need to believe God and get through the next day. Some things, maybe it's get through the next hour. Right? I know there's folks in the room who've had a past with cigarettes and had to quit smoking and so on. Okay, getting past cigarettes can be, I just need to get through the next hour, the next day. And if you'll link the hours together, right, all those little steps, you can get there. So that's all I'm saying is whatever it is, small steps, but string together a series of small steps and you'll get to big victories. Amen. So that's the roadmap, how you get there. And purpose, why will you go? If you don't know why you're going there, you'll quit. I and other people, I've heard others say this too, you know, you just frustration after frustration in doing something, and you just, you know, sometimes you even say it out loud, why are we doing this? If you can't answer that question, you'll quit. Apparently, I could answer the question concerning this church, which today is the 21st anniversary since this church was started. Yeah. We rejoice in that. That's a great thing. But anyway, I had opportunity to be discouraged. Stop. Quit. But I somehow or another always knew why, and it kept me going, kept me going, kept me going. So you have to know why. And all of these things, you may have to seek the Lord and spend some time seeking the Lord on this to get a real answer to it. So purpose, why will you go? If you don't know, you'll quit. We had looked at 1 Corinthians 9:24 last week. In there, I'll just pull a couple quotes. Paul said, run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. Then in verse 26, he said, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. In other words, as you're running, you're doing so on purpose with certainty. You don't want to fill your day with activity. You want to fill your day with steps that matter. Right? I'll never forget something I heard Dr. James Dobson say on the radio many years ago. He said, never let the urgent get in the way of the important. Tomorrow, 10,000 things are going to scream at you for your attention. You know, oh, there's so much to do, so much to do, so much to do, but I got to do this right now, right? Well, right now might not be the most important thing. So do the important things first. Not the urgent things, the important things. And reaching goals and vision and so on is keeping a focus on the important, not the urgent. Well, if you don't do this now, it's going to all fall apart. Well, then let it fall apart because I got to do something more important than that. And we'll pick that up later. And besides, you find God's help. And some of the people screaming for attention and so on. I mean, your friend calls you up and you got to come over and help me right now. And they tell you something going on. And your thought is you didn't get in that situation in 10 minutes. And I'm not going to be able to help you in 10 minutes to undo it either. So we'll talk tomorrow or something, right? So the same thing for you. Don't let the urgent get in the way of the important. So run with certainty. Then I want to take you today. This is how the Lord led me. And I said, Lord, you sure? Yep. Lord, you sure? So I've spent the last day and a half just saying, Lord, are you sure? Finally, it was kind of like he was getting after me. Stop it already. I want to take you to Hebrews 11 and verse 1. We're going to talk about faith a little bit. We have established that moving toward vision and accomplishing these things is a faith enterprise. It's a faith operation. If your vision, the things you're writing down, aren't beyond you, they're not worthy. Amen. They're not worthy if they're not more than you can do without God. Praise the Lord. So Hebrews 11, verse 1, we'll start there. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Keep in mind verse 6 that says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. The vision for your life and His goals and purposes and all that stuff that He would have for you pleases Him. And if it pleases Him, it's going to require faith to do it. What pleases God is you saying, God, you said that I could arrive here, and I can't get there without depending on you, trusting you, and you empowering me and helping me. He goes, yeah, I know. This is going to be fun. And then the Lord pulls together an audience to watch. Scriptures in Hebrews talk about a great cloud of witnesses. And the devil, the demons, the angels, they're all watching. You are God's demonstration of what a man can do who's born again and following God. Pretty cool. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. And by the way, but the elders obtained, not gave a good testimony, they obtained. They were rewarded with a good testimony. You know whose testimony is the subject of that verse there? It's God's. God's testimony, what He says about them. God had great things to say about them because they operated in faith. All right? So the reading on, verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, this may be familiar to you, but again, this is how it all works. First, I didn't dig into it, but I noticed it says worlds, plural. There are several worlds. There are different worlds, and there's a clue here already. He's talking about the seen world and the unseen world. So there's at least two being talked about in the verse here. But we notice here the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, I have a background as a carpenter, so when we say frame it up, I know exactly what that means. We put together the structural members that define a wall, support weight, and the building comes together by framing it up. So we could take the word build or built and put it in there for frame. By faith, we understand that the worlds were built by the word of God. Amen. The way you build something is with words. One of the reasons we're saying write it down, the vision, is so that there's words on paper that you can then say, and those words will build. Amen. God Himself operates this way. He speaks. You recall in Genesis, God said, let there be light. And it was so. Right? Let there be a sun, a moon, and stars. And it was so. That's what it always says in the scriptures. So God creates by speaking things, by saying words. So do we. It's the same thing. To operate by faith is to say words, is to release words. Faith is not just a quality of belief in the heart. Faith is an action. I'm going to show that a little bit. Faith is acting upon a quality of believing in the heart. Faith is released. Faith is a great power, but it doesn't happen when it's in the heart. Faith is only released when words come from the mouth, when the heart is convinced. So power is released when words are spoken. In other words, to say this another way, the worlds were framed. We could think of creation as we see it, the universe as we see it, earth here and so on. Earth wasn't always in existence. But if God is eternal, the idea or what He believed about earth was always in existence. It was always in Him. And always in Him didn't make it happen. It didn't happen until He took from what was in Him and spoke it. And then it comes into being in the way that we understand it coming into being. So things which are seen, are tangible, were made from intangibles. How? By words. Words do that. Now, I want to break apart the verse just a little bit here. Faith is the substance of. Faith is the substance of. I think for a lot of us, we've misunderstood faith. As I've already alluded to, we think of faith as something that's inside us that, oh, well, I believe. That's faith. Don't you question my faith. We see it as something very internal, very personal, and only you and God could know it, so no one else could know it. But James wrote, show me your faith. James said, I'll show you my faith. This says faith is substance. The word in Greek is hypostasis. It comes from two words. One of the words means under, and the other means support. And under support. Right? And under support. Again, as a builder, well, I know what that is. That's a foundation. Before you build a building, you have to have something that transfers the weight of the building into the soil that it sits upon. And any of you that have ever walked in the mud, you know that wet soil doesn't support your weight. You sink in, right? So buildings are designed to spread the weight out on wet soil. Soil can only support so many pounds per square foot. And different soils support different amounts. So engineering is done, and they size the footing poured in concrete, usually down in the ground, so that the weight that they know they're going to have in a building is transferred down and spread out over enough soil that that much soil can support that much weight. Well, if faith is substance, the word here is the undersupport. Faith is the foundation. Faith has to be sufficient to support the weight. It has to be able to support. So if you write a vision and it's got these things in here, faith has to be big enough to support that vision. This is one of the reasons that vision grows. You set your destination, and your destination may be way beyond where you are today. But you can grow towards that and enlarge your foundation. And as your foundation enlarges, you can receive more and more and more. Faith to receive $10 is different from faith to receive $100, which is different from $1,000, which is different again from $100,000. Amen. The size of the foundation has to be grown and increased to correspond with the goals and the steps as they are. And if it's large, you're going to have to grow with that, right? It's one of the reasons that the things we're believing God for don't happen in the first week. Some years might pass and grow into some of those things. Years ago, I heard a minister say something about, he said, you'll do a lot better, you'll feel a lot better, and you'll understand that God supplies your needs a lot better if you have a little bit of money in your pocket. Right? And he at the time, years ago, and I took this to heart, he said, get a $100 bill, tuck it away in your wallet, and just basically don't touch it. Don't spend it. You don't need to spend it. What's it there for? It's there to remind you you're not broke. You're not broke. And I thought, I'm going to do that. It took me a while, but I got to the point where, tucked away, there was a $100 bill. And everywhere I went, you know, if I saw something, if it was under $100, I could have that if I wanted, because I'm not broke. I had to believe God to get to that point where there could be a $100 bill in my pocket and I didn't need to spend it immediately to make things happen, right? Praise the Lord. So I've accomplished that. And you've heard me sometimes talk, I haven't for quite a while, but walking around money. Just keeping it, you don't spend it. And it's turned out that I try to keep several hundred dollars in my pocket at all times. And it's turned out that's where I give from. It's always there, ready to meet a need, ready to give. Boom, it pops out, and I might give $100 to this one or that one. See Pastor Webb, a couple hundred dollars goes into his hand, just boom, like that, you know. I don't have to believe God for it, work myself up, and run to the bank. Because I got it. It's there. It doesn't cost you anything if you don't spend it, right? But it'll say something to you. I've grown, and God's abundant. Amen. And I'll grow, and my foundation will get bigger and bigger and bigger. Amen. Generous, right. Ready to give unto any good work. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm for you. I'm encouraging you. That's awesome. But grow the foundation. Grow in these things. So faith is the underneath support. We would say foundation. So it's very tangible. It's a real thing. You can see it. It's concrete. Faith is always action, not thought and idea and emotion and feeling. It's always an action. It's always something you do. So, again, notice it says, faith is the substance of. It's the concrete evidence of something else. And it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is the abstract. Faith is the concrete. Hope is what's inside. That's an idea, a belief that your emotion is tied to, and so on. And a lot of times people say, well, I believe, and they're talking about, really, hope. When hope is alive on the inside, it will bring about action. You're going to do something about what you really believe. Oh, I believe that. Not if you're not acting on it. You're working on, I'd like to believe that. I think it's a pretty good idea. But what you truly believe, you act on. You do. It becomes part of you. It becomes second nature to you. For instance, a giving in our church and other places for my wife and I, it's so second nature. We don't even have to discuss it, really, unless it's something bigger and more. We act without any strain to give. It's just the easiest thing to do. We don't believe in giving. We act in giving. So anything you're believing for, you're not there until you're acting on it. If your vision and goals and things like that, you wrote them down on the paper, running means you're acting on it. You're doing something about it. Right. Well, I'm believing God to learn to play the piano. Or something like that, right? Have you found out where to get lessons yet? Right. Have you got a piano? Have you lined one up you can borrow? Well, I just believe one morning I'm going to wake up and God gave it to me. And I'll just walk up to a piano and, you know, just all over the place. Nope, it's not like that. You got to start. You got to start. Or any endeavor in life, I want to serve God by whatever it is that you might do and so on. We've got some people in the room that it was many steps, many arduous steps. Doctor, airline pilot, and so on. That wasn't just they woke up one morning and they knew how to fly a jet or understood all of human medicine and so on. You know, that they just didn't wake up one morning. Lots of small steps, lots of hard work. Lots of hard work, wasn't it? Yeah, lots of work. But it's the vision was be doctor, blessing people, helping people, treating people. Well, you don't do that by just, God, you called me to be a doctor, so I receive it. Go to the mailbox looking for your medical license. No. You're going to act on it. You're going to painfully pursue it. Amen. It's going to be, in some cases, difficult. So faith is substance of what you believe. And if what you believe hasn't moved you to the point of acting on it, you've got to question, what do I actually believe? The verse also says, evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Running with a vision, putting vision on paper, starting to act on these things, the acting is the evidence. And it's what you need to do. Act on them. The word evidence is translated a proof. So faith is a proof of what you believe. So in all this talk about vision, and I'm asking you to write a dream sheet with every wild and crazy thing, you know, you think you'd like to accomplish on the dream sheet, if you don't act on it ever, there's no proof that you actually believed it in the first place. So there needs to be proof. Faith is a tangible, faith is concrete, it's born out of hope. And hope cannot be without basis. If you will do some work on the word hope in the scriptures, the definition will be along these lines, a confident and favorable expectation. An expectation. To us, when we use the word in English, hope, it's a maybe it will, maybe it won't, I sure hope so. I mean, how much snow do you hope we do or don't get in this particular today and tomorrow? I sure hope we don't get so much I got to go shovel the walk. Or, you know, I sure hope we don't get so much that the airplanes don't fly and I don't catch my trip or something like that. But a hope is really talking about a preference and a desire, but no real assurance that it will be so. But that's not what this word means in the scriptures. Every time the Bible talks about hope, it is what you expect. And you can't expect something without foundation. I expect God to keep His word. And if I jump out somewhere where I don't have the word of God, I cannot expect God to do what He has not said He would do. So faith is the proof, the evidence, the concrete action after your confident, favorable expectation. Can you expect God to heal your body? Okay, I'm hearing amen. Yes. Well, how come? Why? How's that possible? We have His word where He talks about by His stripes you were healed. Talking about Jesus, healing in Jesus. We can have that expectation. And by the way, that will be the point of crisis for you when you're sick and your body's in rebellion and all that kind of thing. Well, I thought by His stripes I was healed. That's the point you got to figure out, do I really believe that or not? Amen. 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 And we can look to God for strengthening in His word. But having that word fresh, handy, a part of you, don't wait till you're sick to say, with long life will He satisfy me and show me His salvation. That's my personal medicine. That's my prescription from God. That's what He told me to say all the time. With long life will He satisfy me. Living long is fine, but I want to be satisfied in living long. And being sick in later years is not satisfying. So I know that that's a promise of health for me. So I expect to live long and healthy, to be of bright mind all the way until one day, you know, I think I'm going to go home and I just won't wake up one morning because I'll take that flight. Amen. Hope is a confident and favorable expectation, and faith is what you do because of it. God, by faith, made the worlds by His words. We make our worlds by our words. Let me show you that from Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Well, that's pretty easy to accept. Yeah, I believe God can do anything. I believe it. Yeah. But they tell us, those that study the original language, that this translation is maybe not the best way to understand what was said here. The word in probably should have been the word of. Have faith of God. Or said another way, and there's other translations that make it more plain, have the same faith that God has. Or said another way, have the God kind of faith. And isn't that what we're talking about? God framed the worlds by his words. So do the same thing he does. You speak and you create. So Jesus said to them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Have the same faith that he does. Now, Jesus wouldn't tell us to do something we couldn't do. That would just be mean and nasty. That's like an older brother to a younger brother teasing somebody with a toy, holding it over their head, or they jump and try to reach, and they just can't, pull it away. Pull it away. Is God, is the Lord Jesus, dangling something over our head and pulling it away? No. The cookies are on the bottom shelf where everybody can reach them. So have the God kind of faith. Jesus is telling them, this is attainable for every one of you. Operate like God. Or paraphrasing it another way, do it the way God does it. This is in response to Jesus saying something to the fig tree and it dried up, and the disciples asked him, look, Master, the tree that you cursed, you know, the words that he said, no man eat from you forever, is basically what he said. And that tree died in 24 hours, the words. So they're asking about that, marveling about Jesus, and Jesus immediately is telling them, you guys do the same thing. You guys can do the same thing. You guys can operate the same way, not just as Jesus, but God. He said, have the God kind of faith, or do it the way God does it, or operate like God operates. So that's what Jesus is telling them. And then he explains how that works. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, people will fight you on this, but people have in their lives what they've been saying. And sometimes it's so obvious in people's lives. And have you noticed that we often are blind to our own selves, our own words, but other people can see it all the time, you know? The person who says, I'll never live to be 50, and keeps on saying that, believes that in their heart, won't live to be 50. This happens again and again and again and again. We'll never have a new car. You won't. The things that you say and say from the heart, they will come to pass. You'll have what you say. So you always have to be checking up. What am I saying? Even if you follow the exercises that I'm asking you to do, write some things down and so on, if you're saying, Father, I'm believing for whatever it is, and I thank you for it this year, but then a day later, situation comes up, and you say something that contradicts what you said before, now which one of those words is going to come to pass? Seems like they nullify one another. So we really have to guard the mouth, watch what we're saying. I've learned to answer things, you know. Something's going wrong, and I answer it. All things work together for good. For them that love God are called according to his purpose. Right? So it's what you say. You'll have what you say. We'll add verse 24 while we're there. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, by the way, Jesus just finished saying, talk to the mountain. Right. Mountain is representative of any, you know, sometimes we refer to problems as mountains. Yeah. You're making a mountain out of a molehill, right? So whether they be large or small, it's representative of problems. And we are to address problems, talk to problems. And here Jesus called that prayer. Amen. We think when it's prayer, we address the Father in Jesus' name. And yes, that's prayer. But it's also saying to the problems. It's telling them where to get off. It's putting the devil in his place. Amen. You can address him firsthand, but when you talk to the problem, you are addressing him. Amen. So Jesus says, talk to things. Tell them what to do. Talk to problems. Talk to mountains. Tell them where to go. Amen. Whoever says these things and does not doubt in his heart, that's back to the hope in your heart. It's got to be based on the scriptures. Got to be based on knowledge of what God said. And by the way, we can be aware of things in the Bible and repeat them and recite them, and they still haven't grown to be so real in us that they belong to us. When you say someone else's words and they're not your own, it doesn't work the same way. This happened in the book of Acts, where these seven sons of Sceva said, "Oh, we see this apostle Paul casting out demons. I'll bet you that could be a lucrative business. Let's go do this thing," right? And they go and attempt to cast a devil out of a guy, seven of them. And the demon in the guy takes over, and he beats them up, strips their clothes off, and throws them out of the house. Well, what was the problem here? How come? Because they said to the demon, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out." In other words, Jesus wasn't their Jesus. It wasn't deep-seated belief on the inside of them. They didn't own it. You got to own it. A scripture is not yours until you own it. Until you can rise up and say, "That's me, that's me, that's mine. I don't care what anybody says. Jesus said, that's me, that's me." Devil come fight you over it. Sorry, devil, it's already done. It's over with. I know what I know. Healing belongs to me. It's mine. Prosperity is mine. You're too late to the party. This is already a settled issue. It's mine, and you can take your garbage and leave. I don't care what kind of show you make. I don't care what kind of progress you've had so far. You're not staying. You're not staying. We'll have none of this. Those demons answered that guy, those guys, those seven sons. They said, "Well, Jesus we know, Paul we know, who are you?" And so, where this says, "Do not doubt in your heart," you've got to get to where you own it. Amen. Where you can say, "God said to me in Psalm 91, It's not just, "Well, the Bible says in Psalm 91. That's good. But if I don't own it, it won't work for me the same way. Amen. So because the Lord ministered it to me directly and personally, I own that one. And I'm offering it to you, of course, and by mentioning it many times, you can own it too. But that's me. With long life, will he satisfy me? Show me his salvation." I was thinking about that just a couple days ago when I was pouring a cup of coffee. And I said, "I'm going to live to be 100, well satisfied. And when we get to 100, Lord, I'll check in with you and just see from there. Maybe I've had enough. Maybe I want to keep going." Praise the Lord. You got to own it. And by the way, you're not ready to open your mouth. You might not even be ready to put it on the paper till you own it. Otherwise, you're just throwing stuff out there and see if maybe it happens. Amen. This is why I'm saying you can write the dream sheet. That doesn't cost you nothing. But if you're going to actually make the vision for 2018, you're going to have to consider, where am I at? And do I own that? Can I follow through on that and start acting on it? Otherwise, you're experimenting. And the Word of God is not an experiment. It's a sure thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You got to own it. You got to fight the good fight of faith. It's not a walk in the park. It's a fight. It's a fight. Anybody who's a fighter has got scars. It ain't a fight if you hadn't taken a punch or two in there. Amen. Are there any warriors in here? It takes a warrior spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, when you have the Word of God and it becomes real in you, you know, I've literally done this. There have been times I'm reading something, all of a sudden a rush comes on the inside. You see it, you got it, you take it. I have literally stood up and go, oh, come on. Just try it again, Mr. Devil. Ooh, come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Those moments when, boy, something happened. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. Sometimes it's different, but the same thing happens when I'm watching a movie, particularly war movies. And there's that moment when something clicks on the inside of the heart of a true warrior. And they pop up from a defensive position and run to the battle. Oh, I wish I could have been there. Oh, why couldn't I be one of those guys? And the Lord keeps saying, you are one of those guys. You are one of, yeah, but Lord. He said, you're in a war too. Run to the battle. Come on, let's go. I get thrilled at leadership like that. So he says, come on, you are commander. Let's go. Let's go. Come on. And I guess that's what I'm doing is, come on, let's go. That's what demonstrate and proclaim the goodness of God is. I got to show it. I got to jump up from the defensive position and let's go. That's what vision is getting out of defense and going on the offense. Come on, let's go. I want with all my heart for people to be born again, to be spirit-filled, to be fully healthy in their bodies, and to be prosperous in their finances. I don't care where you are in any one of those categories. Let's pick it up. Let's go. Let's not stay where you are. Let's get your body healthy. Let's get your pocketbook to increase in 2018. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pick up your weapon and fight. What's my weapon? My mouth. Even in the pictures in Revelation of Jesus, a flaming sword was coming out of his mouth. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When the words of God come out of your mouth, boy, the angels go, oh. Did you hear that? Yeah. And the demons go, oh. Did you hear that? Yeah. Sword comes out of your mouth and it starts cutting down strongholds. It starts cutting down problems. You're telling mountains which way to go. Amen. Troubles and problems. You speak to them. Be dried up. Be cast away. You can't stay here. You're no longer welcome. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God won't tolerate any profane disease, any trouble, any problem. And if it finds a way in, it's going to find a way back out. I'm going to push it out. I'm going to speak it out. I'm going to say it out. Glory to God. We need to be fighters, warriors, champions. King David, when he faced Goliath, Goliath said, I'm going to cut off your head, feed you to the birds. And David said words along this line. Oh, you shouldn't have said that, because now I'm going to cut off your head and feed you to the birds. David defeated Goliath with his words and threw a little stone to help. That was the action. David ran at the giant with his mouth going. Don't shrink small, rise up large when something comes at you. Well, what do I say? Say what the Word of God says. Well, I'm not sure what it says. Well, you better work on that. What soldier doesn't know his weapons? What soldier isn't trained on the disassembly and assembly of your firearm? You know, they blindfolded, take it apart, put it together, clean it up, make it work. chamber around, you know, the whole thing. You go through the exercise, drill, 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 drill. Know your weapons. Come on, be a fighter. Let's fight for what's ours. The enemy's stolen from us long enough. There's been a drought long enough. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That's why we're talking about these things. Vision. How to fight. How to fight. So, I guess to close her down for this morning, we watch for the vision. We write the vision with the supporting scriptures. Just writing what you want or desire down by itself is not enough. You've got to know, why is that yours? If you don't know that it is yours and why it's yours, you'll be talked out of it. I guess we just hoped for too much here. No? You got to know why it's yours. And there are so many resources that will help you with that. For instance, in Timothy, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." That tells you that God will bring clarity of thought. And if you're confused and just can't find the answer, what do? You pull out the clarity of mind gun. God has not given me this spirit of fear. This thing making me concerned and worried. But he's given me the spirit of power, love, sound mind. I'm not crazy. I'm not confused. I know that God has given me the victory. Thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph. I follow him. I'm going to the victory field. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Get preachy with yourself. Get preachy with mountains, problems, troubles. Be compassionate and patient with people, but not with mountains. They may not see what you see right now, you know. So don't jump down somebody's throat. Amen. Praise the Lord. Be patient with them. So my steps again here, watch for the vision, write the vision with scriptures, then run with the vision. Start adapting it to specific steps and goals. If you always wanted to have a such and such, then start the process of learning about them, how much they cost, which is the best one. Go and visit the showroom, whatever it is, you know. Take steps. There are things you can do that don't cost you any money. You can become an expert on something before you have one. Just by looking into it, learning, growing. You know, if today I said, I'm going to buy you a new car, do you know exactly which one you want? Yes. Some of you do. Okay, that's good. And all the options? Huh? I bet you don't. You know, when we came down to getting a truck, you know, they have different gear ratios in the rear end. It matters to me. Maybe other people wouldn't know, but that's a question you have to answer. Which gear ratio do I want? Right? Specifics. So all I'm saying is act on it. Believe in God for a new car. No, believe in God for a car and then red. Leather seats. Heated front and back seats. You know, you write that all out. Write that all out. That's action and steps that you take, right? So that's what running with the vision is. Running is acting on the vision. And then remember this, every word we say moves things. Or moves you, whichever way you want to say it. It moves things closer to you or further away. This has been dragging on too long. I don't know if it's ever going to happen. That just moved it further on down the road. In faith, you don't even ask when. The Lord tells us to ask of him. Things that we desire, things that we need. Once we've asked of him, and you have maybe a particular time that you can point to. Father, I need, let me just say $10,000 or something like that. Once you've asked him for it, you're done asking. Jesus said, don't think that you're going to be heard in your prayers by vain repetition. We don't ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. We ask once and we thank often. So once you've already, for instance, the Lord told me, sitting on a couch in this church sometime back, he said, ask me for an airplane. Okay? Father, I ask you for an airplane, and I made some description of it. From then on, never ask again. Because if he told me to ask him for an airplane, that meant his answer was already yes. Why would he tell me to ask for something that he could just kick me to the curb and say, joke's on you. He wouldn't do that, right? So if he tells me to ask for an airplane, that means he's given me an airplane. Once he's given me an airplane, if I believe him, I'll never ask him for it again because he already said yes. If he already said yes, from then on it's, oh, I'm thanking you for that airplane. Father, the airplane you have destined for me, that airplane with my name on it, thank you, here it comes. Airplane's coming in. I didn't know how long it would take. You ask him for something one time and ask it in a quality fashion. I'm asking you based on this. And repeat to him the scriptures. Then you're done with it. From then on, thank you. I'm learning from my pastor. He oftentimes, Lord, we thank you for our new jet. Amen. He's not asking him for a jet anymore, another aircraft. It's just thank you. And this whole family is saying that because the whole family moves by air that way, you know. Used to have a jet, doesn't anymore. He's looking for it again. Lord, I thank you for my new jet. So after you've asked the Lord, Lord, I thank you for whatever it is that may be part of what you're believing for. You know, Lord, I thank you for that new job. Thank you for that new job. You don't ask again. You don't grumble about it. You don't worry about it. You're not concerned at every thought of it. Just, Lord, I just thank you for. I'm rejoicing over my new job. It's a good job. I like it. Well, what is it? Don't know yet, but I like it. I'm thanking you for it, Father. Thanking you for it. I'm rejoicing over it. Doing a little dance about it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So just rejoice over those things. Amen? I've given you plenty to work with. Amen. And for my own self, I'm in process. And it's over some time. It'll take time to put this together. And it needs to be revisited and adapted and changed. Amen. And we'll grow, all of us together that way. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, we bless you and thank you for your instruction from the Word in these things. We thank you, Jesus, that you have come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. For the kingdom, we are demonstrating and proclaiming the goodness of God. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.